If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios, in for John Williams, taking Labor Day weekend off. And I always feel weird when I'm in for John and Griff is here. I feel like, you know, it's just a little weird because...
What can I do to...
John's your dad.
What can I do to put you at ease?
Smile.
That's not going to happen. What else?
Oh,
what
man. Else? You're all business, I've noticed. We've worked together... three times, four times, maybe. And you're very focused. I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good stuff. what is your dad doing today?
That's a great question. I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
That's He's fine. All business, even with dad. He doesn't talk to him on off days.
Just... That's right.
How often do people talk to their parents once they become an adult? Because I called my mother yesterday, and she's like, honey, I haven't talked to you in a week. What are you doing? And it's like, sometimes you just forget, but you feel bad once you start talking to them.
Do you live in the same state?
My mother lives in Peoria. I live in Chicago.
It's still kind of far, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can pick up your phone any time of the day and get a hold of people nowadays.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't.
How often do you talk to your dad?
Pretty often. I mean, they live very close to me.
Okay.
So I see them regularly.
So you're hanging out. They're making you dinner, doing the whole deal.
That's been known to happen, yeah.
Okay. Domitine, yeah. How about you?
Well, my parents are in the south suburbs. I'm in the city. And no matter how often I talk to my mom, it's never enough. And my dad seems like he would rather not be bothered with me. So I'm always interrupting my dad, who's doing nothing.
The mother-son guilt. There's a lot of guilt there.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you since yesterday. What's the problem? I'm like, what is the customary? What's the amount of time you're supposed to talk to parents?
Well, it's different for everybody, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
That's always the first thing my mom says about me when my name gets brought up with somebody else. How's Joe? Well, I haven't seen him in a while, so I couldn't really tell you.
Oh,
ouch.
Yeah, that's rough
probably
stuff.
Probably listening right now, so.
Rough stuff. As Joe mentioned in sports, Khalil Mack is going to be a Chicago Bear. That's huge news. That's bigger than big.
Someone brought up on Twitter, I mean, this is probably the biggest Bears news since the Jay Cutler signing.
And we know how that worked
out. Right. Obviously a lot more upside with this.
Yes.
Younger player. But,
yes.
I mean, that's big.
Tell me about his personality. Do you know anything?
Khalil Mack, not really. I know he's 27. He hasn't missed a game. He was fourth overall pick from Buffalo, maybe fifth. I really don't know, except other than his just explosiveness on the defensive side of football. And
because when Jay was being traded here, we always heard that he's a bad guy. But maybe he just needs some new scenery.
Yeah.
That was the story behind Jay Cutler.
It seems like just with this, Khalil Mack and John Gruden really didn't have much of a relationship. Obviously, Gruden hasn't coached a football game yet in the regular season. But it kind of seems like this is Gruden's way of making the team and organization his. And, you know, he doesn't really see the need to keep Mack right now with a chance to trade him and get something for him. So I guess you got that going, maybe a little chip on Mac's shoulder then that way to prove to him and them that, you know, he's still worth it. And who knows, maybe that could work out in the Bears' favor.
Guys, I have a mixed marriage. I'm a season ticket holder for the Bears. My wife is a diehard Packer fan.
Wow.
The trash talking has already started this morning via text.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So is she from Chicago, though?
She is from Wausau, Wisconsin,
okay,
which is 90 minutes from Green Bay.
I will say, don't you think it's odd how many Green Bay Packer fans there are in Chicago?
It drives me crazy when I go to my son's grammar school and they have Jersey Day and I see Packer jerseys. I'm like, what's wrong with you people? But if you think about it, my son's 13. How many times have the Bears had a winning season in the last 13 years?
I get that, but... I mean, you don't see a lot of Cardinals fans in Chicago. You don't see a lot of Red Wings fans in Chicago. Why is it the Packers?
I think baseball and football are very different. because people, you know, kids play fantasy football now and they like the players more than the teams, I would say.
I get that.
Aaron Rodgers is a very likable guy and he's a great quarterback, even though I was brought up hating the Green Bay Packers.
And I think a lot of it is a carryover effect from Brett Favre, too.
Yes. Oh, Brett Favre. You had to bring him up, didn't you? Have you ever been to Lambeau? Anybody?
No.
It's like Wrigley Field in Green Bay. It's tough to hate the Packers because I was wearing my Ditka jersey when I went to the game where they, I want to say they were down by 40 at halftime. Do you remember that? Was it a Sunday night or a Monday night game?
A
few years ago. It was horrible. But they were so nice. Oh, thanks for coming to our stadium. It's like,
you hate that? Like, how do you respond to that?
And what they did in Green Bay, of course, it's outside, but if you walk about 50 yards, the concession area is covered and it's warm. And of course, the Bears don't own Soldier Field. It's owned by the Park District, so they're not going to touch it. But in Green Bay, the stadium is owned by the shareholders, which are the fans. So they're going to fix up that stadium, and they did. The stadium's fantastic.
See, I could never visit. They'll flip me in a heartbeat. It'll be treasonous.
Don't even do that.
Yeah, I'm
no.
not going to go.
Don't. Don't do it.
They'll flip Domati from not caring about sports to caring about sports. That's the big...
Domati, you're not a sports guy?
No, not particularly. No.
I mean, you're from Chicago. How do you not get caught up in it?
The only sport I really watch is football because of said dad, who, again, could care less if I watch the game with them.
Right.
So usually the only thing we do is football, but even then I barely pay attention.
God, I love it. Yeah. I love it. I plan my Sundays around it. I love it. Yeah,
it's that time again.
It is. Yeah. Griff, are you going to tune in on Sunday mornings on Fox 32 with Lou Kanellis and Jim Miller and Pete McMurray?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course.
Appreciate that. Thanks, guys. I had to get that plug in. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk Bears with Doug Plank at 10:35. Pat Brady, the political strategist who is always on this radio station. He's on with Cochran on Thursdays. He is at the McCain funeral right now, which we have the monitor on in the studio, and I told Pat that we would call him at church at 12 o'clock his time. What time did the funeral start? Do we know, Domati?
I do not remember the exact time. We've been watching it. I want to say the wreath-laying ceremony was somewhere around 8:40. I believe the funeral started shortly after in the 9 o'clock hour.
It's going to be tough to top the one in Arizona with Joe Biden, McCain's chief of staff. Biden brought down the House the other day. Democrat or Republican, if you watch that speech, it was so passionate.
Yeah.
And it made you feel good about both parties. But it took someone to pass away to realize that. That's what bums me out.
Yeah.
What have we learned this week? Here's a question. I'm going to take a quick break, and here's a question. We'll do a quick whip around after the break. What have we learned this week from the passing of John McCain? What have we all learned? What do you feel right now as a person? Okay? Think about that, and we'll come back. It's Pete McMurray in for John Williams, 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for John Williams until noon today. We'll talk to Doug Plank about the Bears' big trade, Khalil Mack. Coming to the Bears, the best defensive player in the NFL will be a Chicago Bear very, very soon. And we'll talk to Doug at 10:35. And the McCain funeral is going on right now. I mean, this week, if you haven't had a chance, just go to YouTube and Google Joe Biden, John McCain, and there's 50 that will come up right away. And just watching that and watching his chief of staff and everyone that spoke the other day. And today, I'm sure we're going to get the same sound bites with George W. and President Obama. It just makes, as a person, for me, it makes me feel good that both parties can come together in times like this, and hopefully it'll take us to the next step, if that makes sense. What did you guys feel this week?
It really does. It shows that how you make people feel is almost more important than what you do, if that makes sense. When you hear these stories about how people felt about McCain as a friend, people from opposite ends of the aisle. It talks about policy. It talks about jokes that he told or how he made them feel or what he stood for as a person. Those are the things that stood out to me. Like I was listening to just earlier this morning about Joe Lieberman talking about McCain's legacy, his values, his principles as a person, as a war hero. And the same themes you heard from Aretha Franklin's funeral about just what people stand for versus the accolades that they may have received throughout their life.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's a great point. John McCain made everyone that was around him feel good. Even though he could be cranky and crabby at times, the general consensus was being around Senator McCain, it made them feel good. You're right. It's a feeling.
And I'm thinking about people who I know who are staunchly opposed to McCain's politics, but they remember that moment when he put the thumbs down on that Obamacare vote and the way he did it and how outspoken he has been. Regardless of the backlash he might receive from his party, and no matter what side of the aisle you're on, they've appreciated his principled, how principled he was in that stance, and that was something a lot of folks that I've been talking to, different commentators I've been listening to, really admire.
Who are the outspoken senators nowadays? Dick Durbin, pretty outspoken.
Yeah.
Who else is there? There's not very many because people just want to keep their jobs.
Well, the only ones... At least Republican senators. I'm thinking of Jeff Flake, also in Arizona, along with John McCain. But he's on his way out,
too. Way out,
There's Corker. He's on his way out. The ones that have
they're on their way out. They don't have
to speak up are the ones that know they're not coming back. That's, I think, what the problem with...
Corker's been very outspoken this year. Yeah, you're right. And he is on his way out. That's the thing. 312-981-7200. What have we learned this week? Griff, have you learned anything from the McCain tributes?
John McCain was a big boxing fan, and he hated UFC. UFC fighting, Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Right.
He hated that. And
I didn't know that.
Led a push to ban it in America that did not work.
Huh.
I didn't know about that. But he loved boxing. He loved the fight and the rules and, like, the dignity of it.
Right.
And I heard people comparing that to the way that he approached politics, which I think is kind of true. He was tenacious and... Domenici mentioned people who disagree with him, and I oftentimes consider myself one of them. But the way that he approached it, he had a love and a respect for the rules of engagement in politics and in combat and things like that.
I think in politics nowadays, people forget that it's okay to disagree, and you can have a normal conversation. You don't have to hate the other person or the other party.
Yeah, and that's going away, and I think that's why he felt like such a rare figure in the past couple of years anyway.
How do we get that back?
I
that's the question.
If I had the answer, I wouldn't be here.
Would be running. You would be in office right now. But how do we get that back? I mean, you can go back to the Reagan days where he would get together with Tip O'Neill for dinners. I mean, Clinton reached across the aisle. George W. Bush, I'm sure. But it's just everybody is so angry nowadays. You bring up politics, or if you put something on Facebook about some type of party, or if you list something, or if you put a picture of President Trump on social media, it's going to get the lovers and the haters. There's no in between. Everybody just wants to pounce now. We're all looking for an excuse to pounce, which is too bad.
Absolutely. I think the only way to get it back, I think we underestimate how much power we have. As long as folks on the extremes of any issue are rewarded with votes and elections, that's what we'll continue to see.
Got to go out and vote. That's the bottom line.
You see it happening now in the primary races for McCain's seat now. You know, people are pushed to the extremes during the primaries, and they slowly come back to the middle in the general elections. But that trip back to the middle gets shorter and shorter. I feel like it's like they barely even make that move anymore. It's now just appealing to the base.
Do you feel like most people are moderates? Because most of my friends are moderates. I know there's the diehards, the liberals and the conservatives, but I think most people are close to the middle.
I don't know.
That is a
great
question.
Anymore. I honestly am not sure.
That's a great question, because I don't know if that might be a function of us being Midwesterners, Pete. You know, I bet if we went to some other areas, it'd be much different. You know, much more liberal on the West Coast and much more conservative down south.
Right.
Yeah. I don't. That's a great question.
I really feel like you know, we live in Chicago. It's mostly Democrat, but I feel like most people are moderate. I do. But the McCain, we'll check in with Pat Brady at 11:05, who is at the church right now, and George W. Bush, I see him on the monitor, is speaking. How presidential does George W. Bush look nowadays? Now that President Trump is in office, I mean, remember when George W. was in office towards the end, it's like, this guy can't put together sentences. Now you hear him speak, it's like, damn, he's good. I mean, even though he was bad back in the day, now he's good. I could be wrong on that one. It's Pete McMurray in for John Williams, 720 WGN. Bears! The Bears! Bears! Our next guest, number 46 for the Chicago Bears, one of the fiercest defensive players in Bears history. Buddy Ryan named the 4-6 defense after him. He also attended Ohio State University, played under Woody Hayes, which we'll get to in a second. He was an assistant under Jim Tressel at Ohio State. So we have a lot to talk about. Number 46, it's Doug Plank. Do you have a game today?
Yes, I do. Later this afternoon. BYU is traveling to Tucson, Arizona to play the University of Arizona.
And you are an announcer, too. That's another one of your jobs.
You know what? I believe that the fourth quarter of your life, Pete, should be the most exciting, like it is in sports.
Yes.
More things should be going on, excitement, enthusiasm, instead of so many people, some reason, at halftime, they go, it's over, and I'm just going to play it out the second half. No, I think, truly, despite all the great things that happened to me early in my life, Chicago Bears, business opportunities, I think this fourth quarter could be the best ever.
I saw on Facebook, and I sent you a text after you posted a picture of you and Gary Fensick, and you're donating your brains to science after you pass away.
You know, I really feel like football has given me a tremendous amount, more than I ever would have anticipated. It was not only an education at college at Ohio State, but, you know, just the opportunities to come and play for an iconic team like the Chicago Bears and meet people like you, Pete, and just be around the city of Chicago. I'm still enjoying blessings from that. And what do I mean by that is I've been offered opportunities, whether it be job opportunities or other social activities that, you know, no one else has, or other than someone in the professional sports field. And so I really feel like everything I need to do, I need to pay back. And if this is some way, shape, or form, if they can find something in that brain of mine that's been beat up, smashed, stepped on, and hopefully maybe make it better for the person behind me, then I'm all for it.
Now, do you get headaches from time to time? Because I've talked to McMahon on many occasions, and, you know, he has trouble with a very light light when it's very bright. He gets headaches from time to time. He forgets things from time to time. Do you have those episodes?
Pete, let me tell you a story. In high school, I was so forgetful. I played on the basketball team also on the football field, and for one of the basketball games, I was late in arriving, so I hurriedly got dressed and ran up on the court. The problem was I forgot to put my shorts on.
What?
And all I had on was my underwear. And so, you know what? This is a problem that has been trailing me years and years in my life.
Yeah.
So I can't point at anything recently, Pete, and say, hey, that's the problem. I have a memory like an Etch-a-Sketch. You ever have one of those red toys when you grow up, you drew on it, and then you flip the screen over and it went blank?
Yes.
That's my brain.
Oh, my
gosh. And it's been operating like that since I was 8 years old. So I still feel I can walk, I can talk, I can give presentations, I can think, I can do crossword puzzles. I can do all the things that I did when I was younger. So I'm not that person. And I think what I just want to say there, too, is we're all different. Every one of us handle external circumstances different. It just so happened that the body of Doug Plank could sustain multiple concussions and trauma above his neck and still smile and still have a great day. And I'm enjoying life to the fullest. And I feel for the players that I talk to and I can converse with that are suffering, because I know it's just not them. It's their families. It's their children. It's the legacy of all the things that they've done beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really just sad. And I'll be honest with you, some of the more team function oriented activities, I've really made a deliberate attempt maybe not to go to as many of those as I could.
Yep.
Because it was demoralizing. It was so frustrating. And just coming back to the hotel room after the event with my wife, and we looked at each other and almost like had tears in our eyes. And I'm not saying blaming anybody. I'm just saying that I do think that any sustained punishment over a period of time will accumulate.
Right.
And I've been very fortunate. I just replaced my fourth joint 5 days ago. So, like I said, I didn't get out of this scot-free.
Yeah.
It isn't like I don't have titanium and all these other sort of things in my body. I do. But would I do it again? Yeah, I would do it again.
We're talking with Doug Plake, number 46 from the Chicago Bears. And I've seen you, just to let people know, we've seen each other a lot. And you still look like you could play. But I want to talk about the big news. I'm going to bring in Joe Brand, who does sports on this show. I want to talk about the big news today. Khalil Mack, the best defensive player in the NFL, coming to Chicago.
It's huge. It's huge news. I don't want to just say it's big news. It's monster news. And here's why I love what that possible trade could do. Defensive backs have a hard time communicating with linemen. Linemen have a hard time communicating with defensive backs. You get a linebacker, he is that glue, the Mike Singletary, the Dick Butkus. He's the guy that pulls everything together. And what I love about this guy is his consistency. He's consistently making plays, well over 10 sacks per year. Here's one of the things that really amazes me, Pete, out of all the things that I see statistically, he has not missed one game in 4 years.
Yep, Joe just brought that up.
I'm telling you, that's amazing. It's amazing. I miss games in my first 4 years, either some injury, ankle, whatever. And to play a linebacker position and as physical and aggressive as he is, that's an amazing point. And I just think that the Chicago Bears putting him on that defense, for me as a former Chicago Bear defensive player, I'm smiling. I'm so happy. And I think what happened is there's one way to get – if you want to try to end a relationship with the team, start a contract dispute. And unfortunately for himself and the Raiders – I don't think there was any point of return.
Right.
They got to a point where they just said, you must go.
Yeah.
If we keep you on the team, you will be toxic. You'll be infiltrating all the other players to sit out, stand out the next year, and we're not going to put up with it. So we are going to make an example of you, and you are leaving, and you are going to become a Bear.
Even though you're the best defensive player on the team, we're going to say goodbye. Joe Brand, say hello to Doug Plank.
Doug, how's it going? And it's always a pleasure
to talk. Good morning,
Joe. Especially when I don't have my coffee in the morning. You just provide that extra spark that we all need. just to kind of echo your point, I mean, not playing devil's advocate, but the only thing that some people are maybe saying is one player can't affect an entire team's defense. What do you think one player being Khalil Mack can do to affect the entire Bears defense as a whole?
You know what? When you're in that huddle, and it's a very tight huddle, and everybody's got their head stuck in there, and you're all breathing your bad breath or whatever on everybody else, and anybody that says that one guy can't affect the other 11, I'm sorry. I totally disagree with that. You get a guy like a Richard Dent, a Mike Singletary, somebody in there that has respect and backs it up. This person backs it up. He's not just a loudmouth. He's not out there style points. No, he's out there for efficiency. He's out there to get the job done. And like I said, just the fact that he never has missed an NFL game in 4 years is amazing. That's amazing because you are out there in demolition derby every weekend getting smashed, hit, and especially a player of his magnitude.
Right.
I promise you teams game planned against him. And they double teamed him. They triple teamed him. And they tried to pick him up, you know, every chance they could to get an extra hit in. I know, because that's what we did against other opponents.
Right.
So, no, I'm so happy. I think this is like the most exciting trade or, you know, a transaction that they've had in the last 5 years. I that's how important I think this is.
Doug, you were a coach. You won the championship in arena football, and one of your quarterbacks was Matt Nagy, who is now the head football coach of the Chicago Bears. And I had a problem with our head football coach not playing the starters in the preseason games. What are your thoughts on that?
I was really surprised when I read that. I still think that players, they need access to contact. And because there is nothing like coming back from summer and that first hit, that first tackle, that first block. Well, if you go through training camp and you really don't have anything that simulates game conditions, and I think you're a little bit at a loss to be going out there on the first game. Now, let me just say that. You're weighing it against injuries. So you know, there's been a lot of great players in the National Football League that have been injured during preseason. So, you know, from that standpoint, you just have to think, you know, Matt Nagy's making a choice. He's saying, listen, I do not want to risk any injuries. And as a consequence, we may be behind the first game or two in terms of contact. But I'll just say this, you know, it's not going to take any more than a halftime of the regular season to get all these players back to speed.
Okay. So you're okay with it?
I'm okay with it. I really am. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I think, you know, those situations where you get your prime time guy that gets nicked up, hurt, ankle, knee, whatever the case might be, I've seen more serious injuries take place in what was half-speed drills than ever on full-speed drills, because the bottom line is they're just not in expectation of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with it. Now, people go, that's crazy, Doug. You're supposed to be Mr. Tough and do all these things. I know, but at this stage of the game, I think where the NFL is at right now, I think this is the best decision.
We're talking with Doug Plank, number 46, from the Chicago Bears. Let's talk about Ohio State. You played there under Woody Hayes. You were an assistant coach under Jim Tressel, who was fired because of, what was it? One of the players traded an autographed football. The quarterback traded an autographed football for a tattoo, right?
It was Tattoo Gate. He had traded a signed autograph, which was hanging up in this tattoo shop. I mean, nothing like, you know, broadcasting into America. Hey, Terrell Pryor was here. I signed
that's
a football.
Right.
You know, and I probably gave it up for free just so I could get my tattoo. Now, that's not what it said underneath the football, but everybody walking into that tattoo shop figured it out pretty fast.
Right.
Oh, okay, tattoo, football. And then started connecting the dots.
So
here's all I'm saying.
Okay, go ahead.
But go ahead, Pete, go ahead.
Well, I just want everybody to know that's why Jim Tressel, who was the head football coach at Ohio State, was fired. Okay? So go ahead.
Yeah. Now, I'm not laughing because it's not funny, because I would not want to see this happen to Jim. Jim was, I think, a fine man, tremendous standards, tremendous memory. Players like them, you know, he did so many things, brought in so many great programs at Ohio State. They're still being employed there today. But my point is, not just Ohio State, this could happen anywhere. And think about this. Even, let's just say, for example, you had a couple that, whatever couple, they were maybe the graduate assistant couple, you know, maybe the coach that wasn't really a coach, maybe he was a volunteer. And all of a sudden, if they had a conspiracy against the university, they could really concoct something with either the person and his girlfriend or wife and make it look like the football coaches did not react to anything that he had said or that they were trying to reach out. What am I saying, Pete? I think every NCAA coach and every program should have a program in place where you have specific rules and regulations. If you have domestic disputes, you do not contact the head coach. There is another person designated on payroll that is destined to take care of your problem, to make the recommendations, to notify the proper authorities, to put this thing in the program in the process. In fact, the moment you notify anybody in the university, they have a legal responsibility to notify the police, you know, the law enforcement on campus,
right,
and right on down the line, because otherwise this is going to continue going on and on and on for years.
Well, the point was that Urban Meyer said he didn't know about it, but his wife did, and she has the text messages and she had the pictures, and his wife worked for the university, so that was her legal obligation. But does Urban get punished for that? Even though he said he didn't know, most people said that he did know, but we don't know. But the point is three games enough for Urban Meyer?
Well, everything is going to be a standard, you know, for what happens afterwards. And here's what I'm saying is, I think that the NCAA, not each team or college or university in the country, I think the NCAA should step in right away and say, listen, we let this go way too far. We need to set up a program right now so this will never, ever happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And think of every possible scenario you can think of where a coach, a player, a volunteer, you know, makes a claim. whether it's either him or his wife or girlfriend, and say, we're going to go ahead and plan this so that this thing is bulletproof. Every single person in this organization that steps foot inside that facility, if they have an issue, they're going to be notified who to contact, how to do it, what phone number to call, and it's going to start a process
right
with notification throughout the university as well as the police department. And so what happens is, because then you get into these situations like you just talked about, Pete, where now all of a sudden you're relying on people's memory, or did they end up contacting someone? I can tell you this, even being a head coach of an arena football league team, I can't tell you, there's many days I would come in and start getting on my computer, I would have over 100 emails a day.
Yeah, it's just
from
overwhelming.
Different organizations, people, fans, players. A coach cannot handle that situation. And I just think that, you know, the NCAA has waited way, way too long to react on this. And I think they need to put something in place so that it covers really, literally all the universities and colleges in America. And really, I think, gives some protection to not only spouses and girlfriends and boyfriends and all the other sort of things, mm-hmm. so that there will be a solution.
Doug, before you go, you've been living in Arizona for years. John McCain, American hero, is being buried today in Washington, D.C. They had a ceremony Thursday. I think we're all proud as Americans to see this American hero. We're saying goodbye in the right way this week. You lived in Arizona. Do you want to say a few words about Senator McCain?
Well, you know what? You know, it's funny. I don't know how many people really were born out here and were raised as children. And I don't think very many. I think most of the people that live in Arizona right now came from Chicago, Pete.
I feel like that. I know.
My neighbors on both sides are from Chicago. Here's my point. He stood up for this state over years and years, decades. You know, he had a stellar military record. And, you know, he was always there. He was somebody that you saw on the news constantly, whether from Washington or handling and standing up for different directives back here in the state of Arizona. I mean, I think every state wishes they had someone like him that they could point to and say, wow, what an unbelievable record over years and years of service.
Yeah.
And I think just the fact that you see what you see right now with,
right.
I mean, this is like the honors given to a president. I mean, every news station, you know, it touched my heart too. Larry Fitzgerald, you know, for the Cardinals, became good friends with him. And
yep.
I think you listen to Larry and his words of encouragement and fondness for John, you know, it just says it all.
It does. I mean, it's a great tribute. It really is. I can't wait to hear the sound bites from President Obama, President George W. Bush, Henry Kissinger spoke, and many others today. So I'm looking forward to that. Doug Plank. Doug, thank you, number 46. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your Labor Day.
Thank you, guys. Pete, anytime. Love being on your show.
Thanks, man. We'll talk soon. It's 720 WGN. Thanks again to Doug Plank. I mean, a lot of sports news, but Khalil Mack being traded to the Chicago Bears. He was Defensive Player of the Year last year, Joe?
Yeah.
This is one of the biggest trades in the history of the Chicago Bears. It's got to be.
I mean, in recent memory, the closest thing I could think of is Jay Cutler.
Well, besides Cutler, what else? Who have the Bears traded for?
That's tough. That's really tough. Especially at this elite level.
Yes. I mean, we just got 10 times better on defense. I just love it.
It was cool to have Doug, too, a defensive guy who was obviously amped up as we expected him to be.
I talked to him for 20 minutes off the air. I mean, I've talked to him for almost an hour this morning.
I'm in a group text with my buddies now, and like guys are still just waking up to the news.
Isn't that funny?
And it's kind of cool to see the first reaction from everybody.
I'm on two group texts, one with my brothers and one with my friends, and everybody is just going crazy. If you're a Bear fan, today's a big day for us. But Doug Plank, I've told him for years, I go, you need to be a motivational speaker. He's like, I don't need to be. I go, you motivate me when we talk. Just in your voice. It's like I'm ready to do push-ups. I was going to run around the studio.
Well, he had a lot of good progressive things to talk about, too, with all the injuries he went through. And, I mean, I feel like that'd be a good spokesman for
yes.
somebody who's gone through it all and understands the repercussions. And, like you said, so motivational as he is.
I forgot about Larry Fitzgerald speaking the other day in Arizona and McCain's service.
Oh, did he? I didn't see that.
He was great. He said McCain used to send him text messages and say, you need to get better on Sunday.
He was McCain was a big baseball fan, too. He was a big reason why the Diamondbacks became a franchise over there.
Right. Yeah. Let me take a quick break. We're going to try to check in with Pat Brady. The service is still going on in Washington, D.C. Pat is a political strategist. I think that's his job title, but he's been involved with the Republican Party for years and years and years here in Illinois. You can hear him on the Cochran Show. He's been on Rose Show, and he is at the service in Washington, D.C., and as soon as that is over, he will walk out, and we'll talk to Pat live from church. All right, it's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for John Williams. The memorial service still going on in Washington, D.C. As soon as it finishes, we'll check in with Pat Brady, who is there right now. Is it invitation only at this church? Do we know?
I know who was uninvited, but I don't know if it was invitation only.
Because they're only at the homily right now.
Yes, it's a long service, too.
And if you're Catholic, I mean, that's the middle of Mass, and the homily is going to go 20 minutes, and yeah, we'll see how this goes. Yeah. We'll play it out. But they've already had some speakers, and we have President Obama first before George W. Griff, do you want to play a little of President Obama today at the memorial service?
Now, in fact, John was a pretty conservative guy. Trust me, I was on the receiving end of some of those votes. But he did understand that some principles transcend politics. That some values transcend party. He considered it part of his duty to uphold those principles and uphold those values. John cared about the institutions of self-government, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, rule of law, separation of powers, even the arcane rules and procedures of the Senate. He knew that in a nation as big and boisterous and diverse as ours, those institutions, those rules, those norms are what bind us together. They give shape and order to our common life. Even when we disagree.
There you go. That was President Obama today, and it's so true. President George W. Bush spoke today at the memorial service. Do we have that, Griff?
Some lives are so vivid, it's difficult to imagine them ended. Some voices are so vibrant and distinctive, it's hard to think of them stilled. A man who seldom rested is laid to rest. And his absence is tangible, like the silence after a mighty roar. The thing about John's life was the amazing sweep of it, from a tiny prison cell in Vietnam to the floor of the United States Senate, from troublemaking plebe to presidential candidate. Wherever John passed throughout the world, people immediately knew there was a leader in their midst. In one epic life was written the courage and greatness of our country.
That was George W. Bush today at the memorial service. Just great tributes this week, and today will be the final day, and he'll be laid to rest in Washington, D.C., and again, we'll check in with Pat Brady as soon as the Mass is over. Just wonderful tributes. I love this, and I hope that it sparks something in Washington, D.C. I really do. It's interesting, when I hear George W.'s voice, I haven't heard him speak in years. What has he done? I know President Obama's out there, and we've seen him speak. He was in another country, I want to say, last month when I saw the soundbite. But George W., you don't really hear anything about, Domati.
He's purposely been off the radar. He's been doing a lot of painting. He's been apparently picking up that hobby, doing some home painting. And
so that's it.
That's about it, and some writing. But other than that, he's really stayed out of the fray.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Stayed out of the fray. So it's interesting to hear from him. You don't realize how long it's been until you listen to him today.
I didn't hear Henry Kissinger. I saw him on the monitor here in the studio. Did he have anything compelling to say?
He spoke as well. I didn't grab a Kissinger soundbite, but we heard from Joe Lieberman and McCain's daughter, Megan, which really gave, she gave a moving speech, by the way.
Who wasn't on The View this week, right? So she'll be back next week. So we'll see her.
Correct. Okay. Correct. But yeah, Henry Kissinger spoke, Senator Joe Lieberman. You know, is the service is continuing now. Already heard from the two former presidents,
Republicans and Democrats. And Henry Kissinger doesn't look like he has a neck anymore. It's just his head straight on his body. I don't know what happened there. Okay. It's Pete McMurray in for John Williams. Let's take a quick break. It's 720 WGN. Labor Day weekend, I forget, because we're working. Does anybody have plans this weekend? Griff, are we going over to your mom and dad's over the weekend?
You can. I don't have any plans to, but it's all you. Go ahead. You don't need my permission.
Okay.
Quite the son.
Domati, we got plans?
Well, I get to hang with Griff on Labor Day. We'll hosting WGN Nightside, 11 to 1 a.m., 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Oh, right. Nice. You're working the late shift.
Working the late shift.
Okay, I'm doing the morning shift. You guys are working late.
Yeah.
I forgot it was Labor Day. I'm not kidding. Because I'm working on Monday.
So you didn't even think about it?
I didn't even think about it.
Radio makes you forget about holidays.
But I'm married to an overscheduler. So I feel like I'm doing something nonstop on the weekends. I wish I had some more downtime in my life. Last night, we went to dinner at the Viceroy. Have you guys been to the Viceroy?
I haven't.
No.
Which is down in the Viagra Triangle. It's the old Melvin B's. And you guys are only 12 and 14 years old, so you don't remember the greatest bar in the history of Chicago, Melvin B's. It was an outdoor patio, and it was just a dump. And everybody was there. It was packed every single weekend, and I lived right around the corner. I loved it. No one knows what Melvin B's. They kept the facade, by the way, of the old Cedar Hotel, and the Viceroy built up. So they built the new, which was the old facade in the new hotel.
So you're making a return to that location, even though it's a different...
It was. I turned to my wife, and I said to her last night, I said, I want you to flashback 20 years ago, because it was 1998. I lived right around the corner. And I said to her, I go, Sarah, 20 years ago, we were making out in this exact location on the patio. Maybe we should do it again. And she said to me, no, no.
Yeah, but that's how the first time it went around started.
Nobody makes out anymore. If you're married more than 10 years, nobody makes out. I have to have the make out talk with my wife all the time. It drives me crazy.
How was your anniversary?
What did we do for the anniversary? That was the last time we spoke, didn't we?
It was.
Gosh.
I recommended the Riverwalk.
Yeah, we did. We walked along the Riverwalk, had a drink. There was a place that we talked about right down here, right?
The
at Wacker and Michigan Avenue.
The tropical one?
Whatever it was.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we walked down to Chicago Cut.
Very nice.
And sat outside, had a nice dinner. Griff, why'd you give me that look? It's like, eh.
No, it sounded great.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's what you do, man. I mean, 17 years in the books. You want to make it easy. Like I said, you want to get home by 8:30, 9 o'clock, maybe watch a show, and then fall asleep. That's a perfect night for me. Day drink.
I don't understand how making out is dead if we're doing nights like these.
Exactly. Thank you, Joe. Exactly. I don't get it. Today, by the way, is National Bacon Day. Anybody celebrating National Bacon Day here?
When you asked me earlier, yeah. I thought you said banking.
It is not banking, it's bacon.
I was like, no, I'm not celebrating that day.
Bacon.
My roommate made some bacon late last night. It smelled of bacon around midnight, 12:30 in my apartment. I thought it was strange, but maybe she was just early celebrating.
Well, first of all, you live with a girl?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Two. I live with two women.
You live with two women?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's great.
The real life Jack Tripper.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's what Lou said the first time. Every time it comes up now, he says, three's company.
And there's...
Like, yeah, I guess so.
No kissing or anything?
No.
No attraction with any of the girls?
No.
All right, just asking. So they come home. Were they drinking and they made bacon?
I have no other information. I've shared everything I have with you. But it's Bacon Day. I think she was just celebrating.
Celebrating last night. National Bacon Day. Have you guys had the Cadillac of Bacon?
Oh, what's the Cadillac of Bacon?
Newski's Bacon?
I have not.
No.
Newski's is the best bacon ever. It's so good.
I have not. I want to know who comes up with these great holidays, though. I want to meet
National Bacon Day
and shake their hand.
I mean, National Bacon Day is a big deal. I think we're going to have bacon. My son, my 13-year-old, is running around this radio station somewhere, Charlie McMurray, and we're going to eat bacon at noon when we're done.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Every day is a holiday now. There's always a thing that it's this day. Do you ever get a little sick of it?
No.
I kind of do.
Not really.
Only on National Illness Day.
Do you guys have the app, the daily listing app, that tells you what kind of day it is?
No, I could use that, though.
Today is Chest Day, too, besides being National Bacon Day.
See, now every day's got to share with some other day.
It does.
There's too many.
Wait, chess or chest?
Chess.
Okay.
The game, chess.
Got it.
Franchise Appreciation Day.
What is that?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. I'm just reading this, guys. I have the app. National Cherry Popover Day is today. Hummingbird Day is today. National No Rhyme or Reason Day.
They can't possibly have all these days on the same day.
Today is National Tailgating Day.
We need somebody to step in.
And there's a picture of a bratwurst, which is great. Today is National Pink Cadillac Day. How fitting. Aretha Franklin, her funeral was 9 hours long yesterday, wasn't it?
It was. And
for real, it was 9 hours. And they had how many pink Cadillacs parked out front?
It's actually the shortest black church service in American history. Telling you from experience, guys.
You got that. So National Bacon Day. We all need to celebrate that. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We're going to talk to Dawn Jackson Blattner. I wonder what she has to say about National Bacon Day. She's the Cubs dietitian. Kyle Schwarber, he's in great shape. Lost 20 pounds. I wonder if that was Dawn's doing. She'll be in studio at 11:35. We're going to talk about this thing. Have you guys heard of the keto? K-E-T-O? Keto diet? Keto diet? Keto?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Because I know a guy that lost keto diet. I know a guy that lost 32 pounds and another guy that lost 60 pounds on it. I'm like, I've never even heard of it until last week. And two guys told me how much weight they've lost on it. So we'll talk to Dawn about that. It's 720 WGN. And Walter E. Smith helped us design this new studio here at WGN. Has anybody been in the newsroom lately? You noticed a new item in the newsroom.
I did, yes.
They have a brand new gray couch with those little nail things on, the armrest. That couch is more expensive than the couch I have at my house. That's a beautiful couch.
It is, yeah. I've noticed that the newscasts sound much more relaxed.
Tomati, do you lay down when you're doing the newscast on the couch in there from Walter E. Smith?
Every single time.
I mean, that couch is nice. The lamp and the tables. We've stepped up our game here at 303 Wacker, leaving Tribune Tower.
Give me Jan doing the show. It's not you, Pete. I promise.
It's filled with throw pillows right now, though.
How many pillows do we need on that couch? There's 60. Please. Dawn Jackson Blattner, if you have a question about diets, food, nutrition, she will be in studio. She was on Good Morning America. Did anybody see her last week? 3 or 4 times every morning. I think Tuesday through Friday, she was on Good Morning America last week, and she'll be in studio with us in a second, but time for news. Pete McMurray in for John Williams. Are you struggling with your weights? I eat a cheeseburger. I gain 17 pounds. If I don't work out, I'm fat, and I'm not kidding. I have a skinny mother, and my dad struggled with his weight like Elvis Presley. In studio with us, you can see her Sundays on WGN-TV on the show called See Chicago. She's the Cubs dietitian and our good friend, Dawn Jackson Blattner. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Hold on a second. There you go. This is the new studio. That's mic 4. It should be mic 2 since it's right next to me.
Hey, I like it. I do like your new digs. I like that you're standing.
Yes.
I feel like that's great. Uh-huh. The view is pretty good. I mean, it's not Michigan Avenue right on the, you know, seeing all the people, but this is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I love the Ferris wheel view.
Standing's better than sitting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you heard that article. It's like sitting is the new smoking.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's that bad, but it's pretty bad. You know, even if you exercise an hour a day, think about it, you're pretty much sitting or laying the other 23, right?
You're right.
When people are like, oh my gosh, I exercise so much, it's an hour every day. And I'm like, well, the 23 others, you're not, you know?
You were on Good Morning America this week. You talked about milk one day. I was on the treadmill every day when I saw you. So milk one day.
Was that a humble brag? Just by the way, I'm just wondering.
Listen, I was working out. Okay, yeah. I wasn't going very fast, but Milk One Day. Tell me what you talked about this week.
Okay, so I feel like you said I was on Good Morning America. I feel like I dominated Good Morning America.
Well, there was one day I was watching and George Stephanopoulos didn't know how to take you because you're filled with energy.
Yeah, I got a little crazy. I did a three-day stint there.
Okay.
And so I talked about how to pick a milk, how to pick grains,
and then
how to pick
one.
A nut butter. Yes. So basically it was supermarket savvy and I was there for those 3 days in a row.
You talked about grains. You talked about wheat bread compared to white bread.
Yes, exactly.
Which you would think that people would know that white bread, white flour, not too good for you, but people don't know this.
Here's the big trick that I tried to reveal on the show, is that a lot of time it will say wheat bread, and people think that's the same as whole wheat bread, and it isn't. So don't be fooled by the word wheat. You're actually looking for the word whole.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay, fine.
So wheat bread is fake wheat bread.
Right. Well, wheat bread is really anything that has wheat in it, which could be white bread, you know, could be anything.
Okay.
So you just look for the word whole. That's all I said. And then I did on the show, I went, whole, whole, whole. Like I was Santa. It was amazing.
And what about milk? You talked about skim milk, whole milk, almond milk.
Yeah, so I said everybody has a milk that they should choose for them own selves.
Okay.
So I said, like, if you're growing and you need more calcium and vitamin D, or you're an athlete, because this is really a big hot trend, is using cow milk as a post-workout recovery drink because it has some carbs and it has protein.
Really?
So people are doing that more. And so then I gravitate, if you're doing cow milk, you're doing 2%, which is a nice compromise between skim and whole.
What about the people that say dairy is bad for adults?
Oh, I mean,
stay away.
Let's just point out, if you look up every food, there is something, even broccoli has like anti-broccoli news out there. So you really have to take everything with a grain of salt, if you will, right?
And everything in moderation.
Yeah. What they say, right, in the world of just like looking at food is the poison is in the dose, right? So it's like, yes, I guess if you were just sitting all day and just eating one particular food, you're going to have a problem, whether that is dairy or whether that's broccoli. You really need variety.
Right, right.
I mean, it really is the truth.
You're the Cubs dietitian. Who is the worst eater on the team?
I will not disclose individual names. Here's what I will say.
Okay.
This is my ninth season, Pete.
All right.
And when I first started, they had like nacho cheese pump and blue bunny ice cream, and they had like all this whole wall of soft drinks. And now they legit eat very well. So
really?
They'll have like power bowls for breakfast with like quinoa and greens and eggs. And they'll do like really great sushi lunches and like smoothie bowls. And so this, I will say, it's just been really a joy to see pro athletes really eat like champs.
Really?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I feel like Rizzo cheats a lot. I mean, on his diet. I feel like he would be the guy.
Well, here's what I will say. When it comes to sports, okay, they're not machines, right? They're still people. And
right.
So they really do still like all the same junk food that we all like. But I've noticed that they really plan when they eat junk when they're going to have like a day off, right? So instead of eating like super junky when they have to play and perform and focus,
right,
they may have more of their fun foods on days that are off.
That's interesting that you say that, because I look at myself as almost a professional athlete and I cheat. I cheat on the weekends. So I work out and eat right during the week so I can drink beer on the weekends.
Well, I don't mind the idea of letting loose sometimes, but I don't like the word cheat.
Oh,
it's such a bad word. So it's like some days you're a little bit more loose, you know, and then I'm glad you're not drinking every single day, because that would be a problem.
Right, yes. Well,
you know?
Tuesday night I went to the Cub game and that was a problem. 312-981-7200, also our text line. That's our call line if you'd like to ask Dawn Jackson Blattner a question. Let's talk liquid calories first, because I have a 13-year-old and we always talk about, you know, the sugary drinks, that it's okay if you want to have a Gatorade once in a while, but not every single day drinking these sugary drinks or apple juice for kids. Let's talk about that.
Okay, liquid calories, just don't do it. Like
They're the worst ever, aren't they?
Just
do they go straight
to
your gut?
I mean, it's just not filling. So you have all of these hundreds of calories just easily being slugged away, right? And you just don't feel full. So you can keep going and going and going.
Right.
And so, like you said, using sports drinks, like, let's think about the word for a second, like sports drinks, right? If you're playing sports, this could be a good time to drink them. But other than that, no bueno.
I mean, Gatorade has a lot of sugar if you read the label.
Well, that's the point of the drink, is that sports drinks have a lot of sugar because in active moments, bodies use carbohydrates as fuel. So it's meant to have sugar. So when people are like, oh my gosh, there's sugar in there. Yes, that's what it's designed to have. So that's why you don't drink it in unactive moments. So like sitting on the couch, you know, hanging out.
Yep.
Water, please.
If you see a can of root beer, you know how kids love root beer?
Yeah.
Do you know how many grams of sugar is in a can of root beer?
It's shocking. Probably like 50. I don't know.
55 or 58 grams of sugar in one can.
Yeah, it is absolutely out of
root
control.
Beer.
I know.
You figure you would think it wouldn't be that much sugar.
Well,
but it is.
Liquid calories, as you're bringing up, are the secret trap you got to watch out for, man.
And
seriously.
With adults, too.
Oh, please. More so even, I would say, with adults, right?
I mean, think about the coffee every day and what you put in your coffee.
Well, and that's the thing, actually, is that a lot of people are like, oh, I don't have sugar. And I say, well, what do you mean you don't have sugar? And they're like, well, I don't put sugar in my coffee. I'm like, that is not the only place sugar is coming, right?
Right.
There's sugar in everything,
everything
from ketchup and barbecue sauce, condiments, to like even when people are choosing things like yogurt or granola, you can have just like hundreds of grams of sugar like hiding everywhere.
How bad is ketchup for you?
I mean, it's not great. They do have brands out now that have more tomatoes and like maybe sweetened with a date instead
but they
of tons
don't taste
of sugar.
Good.
Oh gosh, I
they
guess
do
you'd be
not.
Surprised.
Please
they're so delicious.
Cut it out.
I mean, come on, they are.
No way.
I mean, and here's the thing: nobody uses ketchup as a condiment size. Like when I look at how people use ketchup, I'm like, it's like, would you like some fries with your ketchup? Like people use way too much of that condiment.
When did that start? Where it used to be a dab of ketchup, and now it's half your plate just filled with ketchup.
It is. It is shocking. I think the portion control is like a big first step for people who love ketchup.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Labor Day weekend, people are going to be barbecuing Sweet Baby Ray's. I mean, it's the same thing.
Oh, gosh.
It's like eating a lollipop.
How about this? Maybe you could do some dry rub, which is just like seasonings on your barbecue.
Yeah.
As opposed to,
but we all overcook our food, so we got to have some liquid on it.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah.
I love Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue
sauce. A dab will do you, though, people. Like, right? A dab will do you.
So how do we avoid those things? Of course, we can read the labels, but people go in and order a latte from Starbucks. You're still getting a lot of sugar in that if you have a vanilla latte.
Well, and here's a real sneak thing, too, is that is it added sugar or is it natural sugar, right? So like milk, for example, has natural sugar in it.
Right.
No added. So when you look on the label of milk or even yogurt with no sugar added, it will naturally have sugars in there called lactose.
Okay.
So, you know, like fruit has sugar, but like things like milk and fruit with sugar, they also carry with them a lot more nutrition, right? So there's calcium and vitamin D and fiber and vitamin C and things like that. So having natural sugar that has other supporting actors in there is way better than the real added stuff, which is just white empty calories.
Right. Yes. Listen to your body, right? You brought up fruits. When I eat bananas, they sit in my stomach like a concrete cinder block. Seriously, I hate eating bananas.
Thank you for all the digestive play-by-play.
I mean, it's like I ate a brick, okay? So I avoid bananas. I just don't eat them, but I can eat 1,000 apples.
Well, I mean, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, I
guess.
Is
it okay for fruits? Yeah. Or
I mean, here's the deal. Fruits,
moderation.
Well, yeah. I mean, fruit is a sugary food. So, like, even though it's natural, it has vitamins and minerals, it's really the key is 2 pieces or 2 cups a day is sort of your target.
Okay.
But then, you know, when people are like, well, I had chocolate cake because you said I couldn't have 3 cups of fruit, you know, and I'm like, no, you don't have, like, if you need to overeat fruit to help, you know, eliminate other refined sweets, you can go over. But, you know, the healthy target is like 2 pieces, 2 cups of fruit a day.
I saw in Dr. Oz a few years ago, or maybe he was on the show and told us that eating ice cream or some type of dessert, you'll keep eating it unless you take a break and rinse your mouth with water and drink some water. And it gets rid of that craving or taste.
Well, it is true that whatever you're eating, you want more of. So, like, if you are somebody who's familiar with salad, like, you really do crave salads. You enjoy them. If all you eat is M&Ms, that's all you keep wanting to eat. So, it's
so
like,
good.
Whatever you eat, you want more of. So, it is very true that it's, you know, old fat. It's like the 1980s. We used to say, like, go brush your teeth, and it will help you stop eating. It's true, though. Nothing tastes that good after you have toothpaste in your mouth.
Dawn Jackson-Blattner in studio with us. She's the dietitian for the Chicago Cubs, also the host of See Chicago. Sunday nights, 10 o'clock on WGN TV.
You want to hear my official? Sunday nights, 10:30 p.m. only on WGN.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that sound lovely?
Yeah, that's
thanks,
very good.
Thanks,
I'm going to take a break, and we're going to talk about the keto diet, which I had no idea what it was until I saw an article this week that there is some type of drink that you can order at Starbucks if you're on the keto diet. And I asked the person next to me at work, what is the keto diet? And they're like, how do you not know what that means? I go, I have no idea what it is. And then people started telling me how much they lost, 30 pounds, 62 pounds. But again, it's a diet, which we'll talk about in a second. It's 720 WGN. Dawn Jackson Blattner in studio with us. The Cubs dietitian, host of See Chicago Sunday nights at 10:30 on WGN-TV. The keto diet.
Oh, and first,
what is this?
First of all, I want to welcome you to 2018.
Yes. Really? Is this a big deal?
It's a huge deal.
I've never heard of it until this week.
Okay. So keto is basically short for ketosis. And this is a diet that really originated to help epileptic children.
Oh, wow.
I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah. And people got their hands on it. It is really a focus of fat. That is what the diet is. The diet focuses on fat big time. So unlike the paleo diet, which was heavy, heavy protein, this keto diet is not heavy protein. It's very, very moderate protein. You do not do high protein on a keto diet. You do high fat and extremely low carb. So I'll tell you what, I like low-ish carb diets, right? So we all overeat carbs. Like, you're eating too many. Okay, so fine. But this keto diet takes it to a whole new level, and it's really about extra, 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 extra low carb.
So what am I eating on this? Am I eating steaks and pork chops and...
Those are all protein
spaghetti?
Foods. Those are all protein foods. So you're really pulling back. You're not eating that much hamburger. You're not just eating that much steak. You're not eating that much chicken. You're eating cheese. And full-fat yogurt.
What?
And olives and avocados and bacon and, things that are very, very fatty. So, for example, people on a keto diet would do something like eggs scrambled in a lot of butter in the morning with avocado on greens. Or they might do a protein shake with no fruit. So it would be protein powder, like water and almond butter and greens. You know, so you're eating a lot of vegetables, especially leafy green vegetables. Here's the thing. This is the bottom line to everything. I would not recommend a keto diet, but it absolutely works just like any diet that you follow. All diets work if you follow them.
I got a buddy that told me this week he lost 32 pounds on the keto diet.
Right. I mean, it absolutely works because here's why. Any diet works because you're paying attention to what you're eating.
You're disciplined. Right? Right.
Yeah, you're paying attention. And then, guess what? You can't eat pizza. You can't eat granola.
Right.
You can't eat cupcakes. You can't eat all this stuff. So all of a sudden, you're not eating junk food. You're paying close attention to food. You're probably not dining out that much because there's not many places you can go. Right?
Right.
So you're prepping more foods. You're planning. You're being very thoughtful. And what happens when you become aware and thoughtful and conscientious when you're eating? Boom, you get healthier.
And you start feeling good about yourself, and you may start walking or working out.
Absolutely.
Or getting back into the gym.
Yeah. So when it comes to weight loss, it really is this 80% food. So, they say, abs are made in the kitchen.
Right.
But I mean, really, you need to have, weights and cardio. You have to have exercise to keep your body in shape. But really, for weight loss, it really does heavily rely on the foods we eat.
The washboard stomach. The six-pack abs.
Like you have. I can see it right there.
I've been working my entire life. Two things I work on. I do weights, and I work on my abs. And if you are not taking steroids, you're not going to be huge.
Well, hey,
you're not going to be huge.
What do you want me to say
Number two. what was my point?
This story turned.
The abs. I've been working on my abs forever. Ever.
Again,
I played
brag.
Football in high
humble
school, brag. Worked on the abs. I feel like it's hereditary. You can't get a six-pack abs unless you starve yourself and don't eat like Brad Pitt has done in movies, or you're born with it.
I mean, it is true that it does take a lot of exercise. So, when people are getting ready for movie roles and doing this, they're not in the gym for an hour or two.
Right.
They're in the gym for an hour or two multiple times in a day.
Yeah.
So they're putting in work that, potentially we can't actually find time to do because we're doing other stuff.
Well, you got a guy, I follow Mark Wahlberg on Instagram, and he works out. He's called it the 4 a.m. club. So he'll work out at 4 a.m. every single day. And here's a guy that's 5'10", but he probably weighs 135.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is it really does take discipline and work, and it is not just all the time in the gym. He's paying attention to everything that he eats.
But what about beer? I mean, where does that work into the six-pack abs?
It's exactly right. What about beer?
Two questions. Let's talk alcohol and food on the run. I want to talk alcohol because we talk about beer. Better to drink light beer than regular beer, but it's vodka soda is the least caloric liquor.
Yeah, so,
if you're drinking a bar drink.
Yeah, so club soda has zero calories. So
right.
Why it's such a great drink is because you're putting a zero calorie mixer along with a shot. And a shot of alcohol usually is around 100 calories.
Okay.
And it gives you a lot of volume. So like the other day, I was in New York. I was like, oh my gosh, I'd love to have a margarita. But instead, I was like, can I have a club soda with tequila and lots of fresh lime? So it ends up being a very large drink. So
okay.
A lot of volume, but only 100 calories.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that's
I like that drink. I like that drink a lot. And then when it comes to wine, a lot of people, the problem is that they enjoy wine so much that they never keep it to the 5 ounce perfect portion.
Of course.
Right? And a lot of times you buy a bottle and then people just keep refilling your glass. So then at the end, you have no idea how much you've actually had. So
right.
Cocktails are fun because, especially when they're club soda as a mixer, because you can actually count them, you know, keep track.
LaCroix with vodka.
Yes,
flavored
exactly.
LaCroix is fantastic.
Great. It would be a great option.
How bad is rosé for you?
Well, if you're somebody who can
sugar
keep
water?
It to the 5 ounces,
nobody
I mean,
does that.
Right. This is what I'm
women
saying.
Women are drinking bottles of rosé as they sit down for
right.
dinner.
I mean, have you heard of it? It's like rosé all day. It's like, this is legit. So the problem isn't, again, that rosé is so bad. It's just that most people don't drink the small amount. So, you know, doing things like even cutting rosé with a sparkling water to make it a spritzer
yeah.
could be something. I know. I hear you. I hear you.
Food on the run. I mean, people are in their cars. They're driving from the suburbs to the city. All over the place. What's the best thing to eat if you're on the run?
Oh, I have this big rule. It's called table, plate, chair. I don't like food on the run. I think that food on the run is so American. It's sloppy eating. And so like eating, I say with elegance, right? You've got a table, you've got a plate, you've got a chair to really eat your meals and snacks there. You would be shocked. That diet alone, if you did table, plate, chair, you would lose weight doing that.
I know, but if you have to eat in your car.
Ugh. What is going out of control in your life that you have to eat in a car? I would probably seek some sort of counseling. I'm not kidding.
How about McDonald's? You go and order just the chicken breast a la carte without the bun.
I mean, yeah,
and have
you
them cut
can
it,
do that.
Which I've done before, and they still don't know how to price it. That'll be $5.50. No, there's no bun. It's only $3.33. I've done it before.
Oh, gosh.
And can you cut that in little squares for me? I'm driving.
Yeah, oh boy. Oh boy, Pete.
Grilled chicken on the
I
run?
I mean, I feel good. Could you at least save it, though, and eat it
no mayonnaise?
At a table, plate,
no.
chair?
Oh,
like,
geez.
eat it like, you know.
How do people follow you on social media?
Oh, it's at DJ Blattner.
DJ Blattner.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about changing my name to just DJ.
I'd like it.
But then when people think I'm, like, spinning music all day, like DJ.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
you can
I mean,
learn. Everything's you know electronic nowadays.
Yeah,
you were really great on Good Morning America last week.
Well, hey, thank
I was
you,
very
Pete.
Impressed. You should host your own TV show.
Right?
How about Sunday nights at 10:30 on WGN TV? It's called See Chicago. And thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Pete.
It's always great to see you. It's 7:20 WGN. Thanks again to Dawn Jackson Blattner. It's always fun to come in on a Saturday and see Amy Guth, who I just love. And I just found out you're a yoga instructor. I have the flexibility of a 72-year-old man.
For
which mic are you on? Are you is that
I'm
mic
this
three?
One. Whatever the back of the microphone says.
I don't.
They're not labeled in here.
They're
we
not labeled in here. That's why I keep pressing the wrong one.
I've done yoga for probably 14 years. I often say it saved my life because I was in a really bad car accident. I couldn't even
really
sit up to get up and leave the room. When I was so injured when I first got into yoga, my neighbor was like, this one yoga teacher has also been really critically injured. She can help you. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And the yoga teacher came up and put like rolled up towels under me. And she was like, you only have to be where you are today. You don't have to like, it's a practice. It's not about perfect. So I slept for the first time. Like it felt like the first time in months, but I slept wonderfully and that helped me heal from all the injuries I had gotten in that car accident. So,
wow. And you've been doing it ever since.
Mm-hmm, and then I went and got my teacher certification and that was one of the best gifts I've ever given myself. And so, yeah.
Good for you.
That's a thing I do on the
Have
side.
You hosted a class here at WGN?
You know what? There's a picture on my Instagram with a couple of people you might recognize.
Really?
We were doing a little impromptu yoga.
Steve Cochran?
It is not Steve Cochran. Although, challenge accepted. That's a thing we're going to do now.
Yes. Yep. I'd love that.
I cannot believe you had not heard of the keto diet. I've done that for
no idea.
Quite
Until
a while.
This week. Everybody's making fun of me. I've never heard of it.
It's great. I do like, you know, I not very strictly do keto. I don't do dairy.
So you eat right.
Yeah. So okay. I just eat like a lot of vegetables plus butter. You can't go wrong with that. I don't do a ton of dairy except for butter.
What do you have coming up today?
Well, let's see. We are going to be, speaking of healthy things, we might chat a little bit about how Starbucks is trying to help us rid the sugar from our lives. We shall see how that goes. We're going to definitely be talking about, we're going to check in with Greg Trotter from the Tribune, a regular guest on the show. We're going to talk about a brewery locally and hear their very interesting story. And we're going to check in about Burning Man, which is happening right now, and just kind of take a look at how it has changed over the years. Because it's very different than, you know, there's a lot of technology factors in it now where it used to
tons of rich people go
getting stoned in the desert.
Yes.
And with body paint and
which
glitter.
Which is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
It's just odd.
Yeah, I'm not here for any of that. That's, I don't know, that's age showing or something. But I'm like, that doesn't sound
fun, even
a little bit.
No, not at all.
No, I don't want.
Well, have a great show.
Thanks. Have a fine Saturday.
Thank you.